Bankers head back to the Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Bankers and bank regulators are back on Capitol Hill today, testifying before the government's bailout watchdog panel. The government has spent $45 billion to bail out Citigroup. And at today's meeting, Citigroup CEO Vikram Pandit is, among other things, thanking Congress for saving his company. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pandit is answering questions about the effect of the government's money on his company. What did that money really do?
Well, Citigroup has gotten something else, Bill, along with the money that's absolutely priceless, a government safety net. Elizabeth Warren chairs the Congressional Oversight Panel on the bailout, and here's what she said at the hearing earlier this morning.
Citigroup enjoys an implicit government guarantee. Evidence thus far suggests that the United States government will bear any burden and pay any price to ensure that Citicorp does not fail.
So then, Nancy, the question is, I guess, did that government guarantee change Citigroup's behavior?
Some economists say it has. They say banks actually take more risk if they have the government backing them up. Kind of ironic. Douglas Diamond is an economist at the University of Chicago. He says here's what's going through a bank regulator's mind.
I try to make the bank safer by guaranteeing their deposits or their bonds. I end up making them riskier because the banks start to gamble more unless I regulate it away.
So, Nancy, he's talking about banks beyond Citigroup, right? Other banks that took bailout money?
Yeah, this could apply to those other banks. Diamond says at first, banks were just too risk-averse, and the government wanted them to take more risks to bolster the economy. They are starting to do that. Now the trick is to keep the risk-taking from getting out of hand because we sure don't want another financial crisis.
No, I suppose that's true. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
In other news this morning, new unemployment benefit claims fell last week by 29,000. The government told us that this morning, and it sounds good. But economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial points out the bad news. New unemployment claims continue to be above 460,000 a week. And the number of people on continuing benefits, that's at more than 4 million.
We should be gaining momentum right now, but we're seeing growth slow. It's kind of like hitting a traffic jam after being able to maybe accelerate for just a block or so.
And the National Association of Realtors said this morning pending home sales, that's when a buyer has agreed to purchase a previously occupied home, those fell sharply in January. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ haven't moved so far this morning. The Dow is up 16 points at 10,413. Retailers Macy's, Limited Brands, and the Wet Seal all posted monthly sales that were better than analysts' hopes. European stocks are down about 0.5% this morning, and Asian shares fell 1% today. State governors are holding their breaths this morning, waiting for word from the Department of Education on which states made it to the final round for a chance at some serious cash. The department is handing out $4 billion in grants as part of a new program called Race to the Top. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Race to the Top is all about competition, which states are doing the best job turning around low-achieving schools and effectively measuring student performance. 40 states and D.C. applied for the first round of cash. 10 or 12 are likely to find out today that they are finalists.
And in April, the expectation is a small number, 3, 4, 5 maybe, will get awards.
That's Joel Packer of the Committee for Education Funding. He says the problem for states that don't get money in this round is that many have already counted their chickens, if you will.
Some states assumed they were getting this money and kind of put it in their proposed budgets. So in some states, depending how much they assume they were getting this money, there could be a negative consequence of not getting money simply because now they're going to have a bigger hole in their state budget.
In New York's proposed budget, for example, the governor assumed the state would get $750 million from Race to the Top. If that doesn't happen, a state education spokesman says the impact would be significant. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com.
The movie Alice in Wonderland opens tomorrow with Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter.
What a regrettably large head you have. I should very much like to have it.
Now, the idea of somebody being mad as a hatter might not be just fiction. A professor of fashion at Toronto's Ryerson University says Lewis Carroll grew up near a big hat-making town in England at a time when that job was bad for the brain. Dr. Allison Matthews-David told me that to make hats, workers used mercury.
Beaver hats in the past were the most fashionable hats for men. And when they overhunted beaver in North America, they had to turn to lesser quality furs. So, for example, they needed rabbit fur to make felt hats. And in order to transform the rabbit fur into felt, they needed to brush it with a mercury solution.
And this disoriented some hat makers?
Well, yes, because, of course, there were no protective measures for workers in these trades. So they actually used their bare hands and touched the mercury. We know that mercury is highly, highly toxic. And then when the hats were dried as well, the mercury vapors would escape into the workshops where there was no ventilation. So this mercury entered their bloodstream, and it caused a multitude of health problems, including trembling. You would become often irritable, irrational. It was well known that hatters were often a little bit loopy.
Interesting, huh? Makes you wonder what the cats were like in 19th century Cheshire. And one final note, a Republican congressman is proposing Ulysses S. Grant be bumped off the $50 bill in favor of Ronald Reagan. North Carolina's Patrick McHenry says Reagan beat the Soviets, transformed our approach to government, and renewed America's self-confidence. One opponent said, given the deficits Reagan ran up, his face should be on a commemorative credit card. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.